Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. This ain't no video game. Yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. I swear, my brothers, we all locked up in a brutal scene.
Damn.
Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound. Damn. So point the arrow now. Damn. I built the pyramids and rose the sun. So call me Pharaoh now.
Remedies.
That's just some food for thought. So take it like a protein.
Yeah.
I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green.
Damn.
Money over Africans, but we ain't really Africans.
Damn.
Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again.
God
so
damn.
Tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master, take a class again.
Yeah.
Cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask them.
Nah.
Just get up on your knees and talk to God. Don't worry about your sin.
I'm telling you the truth, my words, my bond, and I can vouch for him.
This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? Use your glasses, damn.
I'm tired of all my people. See, that's niggas with no action plan.
And I didn't choose to rap. He just fell into a backup plan.
So
yeah.
Let it go so he can show you how he's built a master plan.
Yeah.
I rise with the sun.
Even if you ain't the same,
and treat your lady with respect, even if she hates your vein.
It's easier to do the bad, I'm urging you to please refrain.
Read about some righteousness or open up a business, man.
If you don't really feel this,
turn it off and toss it in the drain.
Cause I ain't got no feelings for no sheep who's lost without his brain.
Michael Brown, he left me with a frown,
but he should've known better, man.
When they looking for a reason to put a bullet in his letter, man.
And don't you get the clue that all these people scared of all us,
cause we made it through that slavery
by Rolexes and Robux,
and you can't hold us down.
We hold the crown for majors before us,
and though you play with money, we still know that you below us.
Now look what you done did, I'm so mixed, I'm just mixed up,
cause I can see the point of every picture with these scriptures.
If you never take a handout, you can never be a victim,
so I don't participate inside these pretty little prisms.
Money,
military, college,
welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Wednesday. Wednesday, October the 11th of 2017. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I'd like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time. So I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, we want to wrap up the series that we've been talking about for the last 3 or 4 days, talking about demystifying wealth. As you know, if you've been following along in the series, wealth is consciousness or awareness or perception. Or the ability to see. Wealth is this understanding that there is something that you see in vivid detail that nobody else can see. Wealth is this ability to see and to understand what you see, not just see it, but also understand it, to understand the dynamics of it, to understand the small ingredients, the details, because the devil is in the details. Wealth is this ability to not only see the details, but to be able to express, expose, and expand those details in a pattern or a systematic manner that is decipherable or understandable by the average Joe. So when we're talking about demystifying wealth, we've been discussing seven modalities or seven keys or seven steps or seven ideals. Now, this isn't all-inclusive. This is not saying that there is nothing else that exists. This is simply understanding from a biblical perspective what wealth is and why it is important to demystify it, take out the mystery of it, so that way you can understand it. So we talked about that, number one, that wealth is what you see. So what you see is your meal ticket. So there's something that you see better than, there's something that you see more than, there is something that you see in addition then, there is something that you see. That's what wealth is. Wealth is the ability to see. Wealth is spiritual sight, not physical sight. This has nothing to do with your physical eyesight. We're talking about your spiritual eyesight. Wealth is discernment. Wealth, the result of wealth, is the result of spiritual discernment. So what you see is what you be. So the second key is not only do you have discernment, it's just that nobody else can see this. You're standing at the scene of a crime, and you can see the guy that's getting ready to commit the crime before he commits the crime. That's wealth. Because you can do something that nobody else can do. You can warn everybody that every time somebody comes in dressed like this, that walks like this, that is fidgety like this, that is dressed inappropriately like this, that comes to the counter like this, whatever it is that you see, that is what you can be. Now what you see is what that you are or what you can be. The third key is not only what you see, it's also what you can be, because you can't see what you can't be. And number three now is, how do you see? How do you automate what you see? How do you pattern what you see? How do you develop a product, a service, an information, a procedure based upon what you see that I can't see? So it's this ability to see the details of it and put it into a system that can be followed or that is duplicatable. Wealth is the ability to see something nobody else can see. Wealth is consciousness, perception, awareness. And this ability to understand on a plasma level, which we'll be talking about in the next series, the particular spiritual pattern that exists that is not seen. Wealth is a vibe. You have a feeling. Wealth is intuition. Wealth is the ability to know something that you can't explain. And you see the pattern. So every time you have this feeling, you get this result. It never fails. 100% accuracy. So I've never been wrong in the area of my giftedness, because it's spiritual. The spirit is never wrong, because the spirit always leads and guides. Now, the flesh, it always pushes, controls, manipulates. So wealth is the ability to see. And wealth is the ability to understand that you can do what you see. Wealth is the ability to take the pattern of what you see and put it in a way that is duplicatable. Wealth is, number four, is the ability to do the value and the worth of what you see. So the fourth principle in the seventh principle is that this pattern that you see has worth and value. So I see that my ability to talk about what I see is valuable to you. Because if it's not valuable to me, it's not going to be valuable to you. So if I don't see worth and value in me, then you will not see worth and value in me. So my wealth does not depend upon things outside of me. Heavenly Father, touch the minds of your people. My wealth does not depend upon the economy. My wealth does not depend upon Donald Trump. My wealth does not depend upon the Reverend Dr. Bishop. My wealth does not depend upon Walmart. My wealth does not depend upon nothing outside of me. My wealth is totally determined by me. To the degree that I can see is the degree that I am seen. To the degree that I can see worth and value in me is the amount of worth and value that you see. So if I don't see no worth and value in myself, you can't see worth and value in me. So I determine the amount of my wealth based upon what I can see. So number four is huge. So if you want to make more money, see more value. Anybody that's listening to the sound of my voice that would like to increase their income, then you must be able to increase your worth and value. Not by doing stuff, but by being stuff. Which is number five. You must be authentic about what you see. Number five is the ability to see worth and value authentically. Now, I can say I want to increase my wealth. Every time you want to increase your wealth and you go outside of yourself, you devalue yourself. Now, before in the past, whenever I wanted to make more money, I would immediately look for another job. That's why I have 68 of them. Now, I still get the same thoughts. I still do the same thing, but it's never first. It's always third. It's always the third, the fourth, the fifth option. Before, the first option, when I wanted to make more money, was to get another job. Now, that's my last option. It's still an option, but it's the last one because I see worth and value. So now whenever I want to make more value, whenever I want to make more money, I add more value. How do I add more value? I talk about more benefits. Anytime I want more money, I share more benefits. Benefits, not features. Benefits, not features. Benefits, not features. Benefit, not features. Benefit. People want to know what you do that benefits them. People are not interested in a fancy software system. That's a feature. People are interested in how your fancy software system feature is going to benefit them. People are not interested in my 600-page Dear Kinnear report. People are interested in how this 600-page Dear Kinnear report is going to make them more money. It's going to make them more healthy. It's going to make them have a better relationship with God. It's going to make them have a better marriage. It's going to make them a better father. It's going to make them a better husband. That's what people buy. People buy benefits while you sell features. Don't tell me about your book. I don't give a damn how many books you got. Tell me how your book is going to help me be a better man. Tell me how your book is going to help me treat my wife like a queen. Tell me how your book is going to help me make more money. Tell me how your book is going to keep me healthy, wealthy, and wise. Don't tell me you got a book, bruh. Don't tell me you got a book, sis. I'm not interested. Don't tell me you got this service. Tell me how your service is going to benefit me. That's number four. Number four, bruh, number four, sis, is please share with me the wealth and the value of what you are regurgitating. If there is no value in it, I don't want to be included. The only reason people talk to you, it ain't got nothing to do with your good looks, contrary to popular belief. I know you're the greatest thing since sliced bread, Brother Will. I know that you make Denzel look like a Boy Scout. I know you got these debonair good looks, brother. I know your body is off the hizzle for shizzle. Women, I know that you're beautiful. I know that you're God gifts to the planet. But unfortunately, there is no room on this planet for you. There's only room for your gift. People are attracted to your shine, not your wine. Let me make sure you over, under, and understand. People, now they're not going to tell you this because they don't even know why they like you. People like you because they know you got something they need. Now, they may not be able to express it in those terms, but people know, number six, they know that you are genetically programmed because you have a gift. And they see or they sense, they discern your gift. And so they come to your house. They go to your job. They find you. You go, you walking in the mall, and some dude walk up to you and say, hey, baby, you sure look good. Can I get those digits? Now, he think that he's attracted to your TNA, but really he's attracted to your purpose and your anointing, your PNA. You think he attracted to your TNA, but it's your PNA. Your purpose and your anointing, because it is the anointing that breaks the yoke. And all the while, you making sure that your chi-chis look good and your aspiratus is sticking out, when that's the least of your concerns. Now, you think, as I do, I thought it was my muscles and my debonair good looks, Brother Rome. But women are not attracted to me because of my physicality. Women are attracted to me because of my spirituality. And my dark behind couldn't understand that. So I was giving them what I thought that they wanted because I was young, dumb, and stupid. Now, brothers and sisters, I need you to understand this because what I'm getting ready to share, number seven, is a cookie blower. So we went through the six stages already. Number seven is, if thine eye be single, great is thy light. The seventh key to demystifying wealth you will never lack is if you can understand you need one message and one audience. Right now you got too many minds. Dr. Span, are you listening? Let me make sure you over, under, and understand, because this was the biggest mistake that I made. See, I was a jack of all trades and a master of none. People told me that if you cast a broad net, you're bound to catch something. Aim for the stars. And if you land on the top of the mountain, that's good. That's what I was taught, so that's what I did. So I went out and I cast a broad net. People asked me, okay, who's your market? Everybody. And that dog don't hunt. I tried it. Now, I know, contrary to popular belief, people tell me, and I see most marketing programs, and I see all of these get-rich-quick things and so on and so forth, and they work. That's the problem. Y'all know sin is pleasurable for a moment. Now, remember, I'm talking about spiritual or biblical wealth, not worldly riches. So I want to be able to have time and money. Now, I know a lot of people that got money, but they ain't got no time. There are a lot of people that got time, but they ain't got no money. See, I want to have a relationship with God. I want to have a relationship with my wife and my children. And I want to go sip pina coladas on the beach in the Bahamas without looking at my clock. Now, I don't own a watch. I haven't had a watch for, I want to say a good 5-10 years. And I want to continue to wake up on purpose and not on time. But I need to scale what I'm doing. And in order for me to scale, the craziest thing happened this year. I tripled my prices and I reduced my email list. The total opposite of what every marketing self-help guru taught. Everybody says build your email list. That's what I did for 5 years, and I never made over $30,000. Now, $30,000, you know, working from home, doing what you love to do, it's not bad. I mean, you ain't going to really, you know, do too much with $30,000, but, you know, hey, it's a start. And then the big G says, broad is the road that leads to destruction. Narrow is the road that leads to righteousness. So now I know everything that everybody else say to do, I do the opposite. Now, I've been saying this for years. When people present option A and option B, I always look for option C. And option C is never on the table. So therefore, I always have to think outside of the box. So every time somebody says, hey, Brother Will, these are your options, brother. You know, you can do this or you can do that. Then I go to the big G and I ask the Father, Father, give me the ability to see. See, I need to S-E-E the letter C. Option C is never on the table. Notice in the garden, there was a tree of knowledge. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Good and evil was on one tree. Now, in that same scripture, there's four other freaking trees. There was a tree that was good for sight. There was a tree that was good for food. There was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then there was the tree of life. How come nobody talked about that tree? Why wasn't the tree of life presented to Adam and Eve? It wasn't. God said, don't eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Because the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. And so we're down here on earth, and the only tree that they give you to eat from is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So therefore, the tree of life is not presented because Yahushua came that you may have life, not knowledge. Now, the word knowledge means no ledge. That means you ain't got nothing to stand on. It doesn't mean to know the ledge. It means that there is no ledge. The word knowledge, remember the K is silent, it's N-O and ledge. That means you ain't got nothing to stand on, brother. You ain't got no freaking foundation. So knowledge is the absence of foundation. Now, the word gnosis is the word no self. Look at the word gnosis. G is silent. No self. So in other words, gnosis is the ability to know yourself. That's knowledge. Knowledge is the ability to know yourself. It's called in the Latin nocestesum. Nocestesum means to know thyself. In all of the ancient texts, there is this phrase in the Matrix when old boy walks into the room to see the oracle, and there is this sign above his head, and Neo asks her, what does it mean? And she said, the oracle tell him, which represents God, know thyself. And the oracle, remember, she walks in and he said that, okay, don't feel bad about what you're about to do. And he hits the vase and knocks it over. And she said, yeah, I told you. So she knew what was going to happen before it happened, because the oracle represents knowledge of self, gnosthesum, which means to know thyself. So number seven is the only way that you can know your message, the only way to know your audience is to know yourself. Because your message and your audience is yourself. And so everybody that I know, and I know a few people, they all go. Now, if you go to Harvard Business School, if you go to UT Austin, go to the Rhett McCombs Business School, if you go to any business school at any major university, you know what they're going to teach you? They're going to teach you the very opposite of what I just said. They're going to tell you to tailor your message to your audience. Tailor, that means change it. That means change yourself. Now, women, if there's any women listening to the sound of my voice, women, when they get married, they tailor their personality to their husbands. I don't know why, but all women do. Women change. They just, I don't know. I think you guys are designed that way. Now, I would recommend, woman, whatever you did before you met him, you continue to do after you meet him. Because why? When you change yourself, the man doesn't know the self. He don't really know you. He just know who you've morphed into, because you are doing what they teach at all business school. Tailor yourself to your audience. Your man is your audience, so you're tailoring your message to please your audience. And that dog won't hunt. Well, let me rephrase that. That dog will hunt, it just won't hunt long term. The marriage may be great for 5 years, maybe 10. People can fake it for a long time. But eventually, the real you got to show up. Eventually. Now, most people can play the role, because again, everybody's in a drama or a play. We're all actors. But I want to be authentic. Remember, brothers and sisters, these seven keys, because the fifth key is to be authentic, to be honest, to be transparent. Because guess what? Then you ain't got to fake it. Now, that's what I've decided to be. And guess what happened? Now, I only work with premium clients. Now, a premium client is what I am doing with the life management system. Now, before, I had different layers, and I still offer it, but I don't market it. Somebody walks up to me right now and say, hey, brother, well, I need you to design a health and fitness routine and a theocentric diet for me. Now, I did that video 10 years ago. It's still on YouTube. So somebody watches and say, hey, you think I'm going to turn away that client? No. But do I promote physical fitness anymore? No, I do not. I did when I thought that was my purpose. Because remember, when I started out, I cast a broad net: wealth, health, wisdom, and relationships. Now, if I could do it all over again, I would not have branded Master Teacher 33. I wouldn't be talking about wealth, health, wisdom, and relationship. I would not have the Eagles Club or Eagles University. I just got rid of the Wake Up Black America. Because why? I'm not interested in talking about race. It's a non-issue. I just changed my YouTube page from Wake Up Black America to Erasing or Replacing Error with Truth. So now, if you want to find my stuff on YouTube, you have to go to YouTube/MasterTeacher33 or YouTube/ReplacingErrorWithTruth. Why? That's my message. One message, one audience. If you want to be wealthy. Now, if you want to make $30,000, $40,000, maybe even $70,000, $100,000 a year, do what I've been doing, because that's what I've been doing. But if you want to make real money, if you want to get, you know, in the $1 million range, if you want to go where I'm going, you need one message. You need one audience. Your message must be crystal clear. Your message must be so succinctly defined that the patternization in your message, the detail in your message, is beyond the scope of reality. Meaning, what I talk about in my blood series, I've only found one, maybe two other people that talk about some of the things I talked about in that blood series. So my life management system, now I'm going to still send everybody what I originally promised, 50 books, 365 shows, Dear Canary Report. You don't need all that bullshit, isn't it? All that stuff is just going to do is just going to create confusion. Because that's what it did for me. You will find that the more you study, like King Solomon said, with an increase of knowledge, there's an increase of sorrow. In the learning or in the writing of much or many books, it is wearisome, or it drains or tires the body. That's what it says in the book of Ecclesiastics. So knowledge creates altered states of consciousness. Heavenly Father, touch the minds of your people. Let me say that again. Knowledge. Now gnosis is different. Knowledge, which is what we all got on this earth, information, information. It means in, form, I, on. It means I am on a mission to create a form inside your body. So the more information you got or you listen to, the more transformation or the more deformation. Now remember, information without application equals deformation. Heavenly Father, touch the minds of your people. This is why many of you are deformed. Spiritually, you are spiritually deformed. How do I know? I've been there, done that, got two t-shirts. Now, let me make sure you understand. So you listen to me, you listen to T.D. Jakes, you listen to Creflo Dollar, you listen to Joel Osteen, or you listen to, so you are a spiritual prostitute or a spiritual harlot. Now, remember, before you ever commit physical adultery, you must first commit spiritual adultery. How do I know? Been there, done that. So you jumping around from teaching to teaching to teaching to teaching. Remember, nothing happens in the physical realm until it first happens in the spiritual realm. So you are spiritually sleeping around. Guess what's going to happen physically? Oh, give it some time, bro. Give it some time, sis. But I guarantee you, unless you develop singleness of mind. The Bible says it this way in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Matthew 6, 22. For the eye is the lamp of the body. If your vision is clear or single, your whole body will be full of light. But if your vision is poor, divided, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, multiple visions, too many minds, too much shizness, reading too many freaking books, studying, following too many freaking gurus, going to too many freaking quote unquote seminars. If the light within you is dark, how great is that darkness? Matthew chapter 6, 21 through 23. Brothers and sisters, let me make sure you understand. Number 7, wealth key number 7 is one of the most profound pieces of information that changed my life. When I started charging $5,000 for my program, my audience dropped down to 200-300 to 10. But those 10 people, they were all in. All of those other 280 people were all divisions, distractions. They were all, now they were not, I'm not saying that they were sent. All I'm saying is that they were not in, meaning their genetic design was not like mine. Let me make sure you understand. This is not dissing anybody, man. The Bible says that Yahushua was called only for the lost sheep of the tribe of Judah. That's what it says in my Bible. That's it. He did not come from nobody else. Now, luckily, because I don't think I'm from the lost, I'm not one of the tribe of Judah. Maybe I am, maybe I'm not. I don't know. Not an issue for me. But in John 10, Jesus says that I'm a good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Now, let me make sure you understand. He said that they don't hear the voice of no other shepherd. Now, the word now a voice, again, is a sound. It is a frequency. It is a wave. It is a vibration. Now, in the plasma series that we got coming up, man, woo, we about to blow some cookies because I have to break down the electric, which is code for the word elder, and magnetic, because remember, light is electricity and magnetism together, and the word magnetism is code for the word magician. So the word electric, magnetic, or we live in an electrical magnetic, the electric or the electrical magnetic spectrum. That's how you see, brothers. That's how you see. It's called visible light. And make sure you understand, because there's some deep business right here. Y'all strapped in? You got too many minds, brothers. You got too many minds, sisters. Well, let me rephrase that, Brother Will. This is the message God gave me, and I'm just sharing it with you. The reason I wasn't successful, because I'm trying to save everybody. I want everybody to know what I know. I want everybody, Dr. Span, you listening? I want everybody to go with me. So I'm so busy trying to love everybody. Hell, I ain't got time to love my own wife. I'm so busy trying to save everybody else's kids. Hell, I ain't got time to spend time with my own son. Sons, plural, more than one. So the enemy was good, Dr. Span. He took my gift and he prostituted it. It's called casting your pearls among swine. The Bible says don't do that. Go to somebody, knock on their door, shake the dust off your feet, and keep it moving, homie. But if you like me, no, man, I can't. I'm a Marine. We leave no man behind. That is the kiss of death spiritually. It may work in war, but it doesn't work in spiritual battle, especially when it comes to wealth. Singleness of mind, brothers and sisters. One message, one audience. What is your message? Right now, if I ask you, what is your message? And who is your audience? Who's your target market? Can you tell me your message? I got one message, brother. I got one message. I replace error with truth, period. My message is for people that are freaking lost, period. That's it. I don't do nothing else. Everything else is fluff. I replace error with truth. Why? I was raised in error. What I saw was poverty growing up as a kid. What I saw was confusion growing up as a kid. All of the men in my life I saw, they all had multiple females on the side. They all walked around with a brown bag in their hand. I said, hey, what's that in there? None of your business, boy. I remember sneaking inside my dad's car once. He had a Budweiser sitting in there. This is probably why I don't drink today. I didn't know because it had been in there probably all for a couple of days. It was hot. And I remember taking a swig of that. Lost my lunch. Then I remember sneaking into my dad's underneath the bed. Had a bunch of X-rated magazines in there. That started me down the road of debauchery. Because I was a little kid and I saw an image. Now, remember, pictures, music, words create altered states of consciousness. In order to change your genetic design, I need to change your mind. So the enemy gonna send stuff when you little. If you listen to this show, you ain't no little crumb snatcher. That means your mind has already been altered. So you're on a path, but that's not your genetic design. So I know a lot of people who have wealth secret number 6. And they tell me, Brother Will, I am doing what God has called me to do, brother. I'm genetically programmed, homie. I'm like, oh yeah? Where'd you get that program? I went to Harvard, man. I went to Yale. Okay, so that program is learned. And God's program is innate. What does that mean? That means when you was a hatchling, that means when you in your dad's scrotum. God knew you in your mother's womb. He predestined you before you entered into this dimension. So everything that you've learned, bruh, everything that you've learned, sis, God can't use. God don't call the qualified. God qualifies the called. I'm a functional illiterate. Do you understand what that means? Let me make sure, in case y'all don't know. Every word that I talk about, I look it up on dictionary.com to get the pronunciation before the show. So I sound very learned, don't I? Every book I've ever written, I had to go and look up the definitions of the words because I never learned phonics. I don't know why. Maybe in school, I was probably sitting in the back sleeping when they were teaching it. But for whatever reason, I never learned phonics. Now, I know why. Because again, if you phonetically say and understand the words in the Egyptian Book of the Dead, in the Lesser Keys of Solomon, in all the books that I've read, I never could pronounce the words. That's the only reason why I'm not full of demons. Now, some people would probably say that I am. But it's very interesting that the people who are full of demons, they all are angry because what they do has no effect on me. Now, let me make sure you understand how divination works. Divination don't need your consent. You don't even have to be in the area. Divination works, and anybody who knows anything that hung out with some Luciferians or some Satanists, y'all already know what I'm saying. They manipulate your chi and your prana from a distance. All they need is a pixel. That's it. Now, the good ones, they don't even need a pixel. They can use word magic on you. Now, for those who don't understand, I'm not here trying to teach no dark stuff. I'm trying to demystify wealth. Now, remember, wealth is the opposite of poverty. Poverty is darkness. So, again, poverty is light. Because we just read in Matthew 6:21 that if an eye be single, it becomes a lamp for the body. Meaning that if you got one purpose in your brain, it lights up everybody else's brain, but it starts with your brain. So if you're speaking to the right audience and you have a single message that you can communicate to that audience, and you can share with that audience the benefits, not the features. The features are the vehicle that you drive. The benefits is the lunch that you bring in the vehicle. In other words, it's the meal. Now, a delivery driver, if I order pizza, a driver is going to drive his vehicle over here, and he's going to deliver the pizza. Now, again, the feature is the driver and his car. The benefit is the pizza, because the pizza provides nourishment for my body. So don't talk to me about Pizza Hut. Don't talk to me about the driver or the delivery driver. Talk to me about my thin crust pepperoni pizza. Why? Because when I put that in my mouth and eat it, that's going to satisfy my tongue. Ain't going to do nothing for my blood cells, but at least it's going to make me feel full. So you're talking the wrong message to the wrong crowd. That's the only reason you may not be joining me on the beach in the Bahamas. Now, in order to join me on the beach in the Bahamas, you need to do one thing that is the result of the previous six things. The one thing that you must do is you must know your message. The next thing is you must be able to know your audience. Now, both of those are the results of knowing yourself. Because your message is you. Your audience is you. Now, let me make sure I say this again. Because, again, people don't really understand. This was the hardest thing I had to learn. I am my message, and I am my audience. So whatever I like, my audience likes. So all I do is ask myself one question before I do a show. Do I want to hear that? That's the only question I ask. I don't do no marketing survey. I don't go out and do no canvassing. I don't do no test market. I don't do no color schemes. All of this marketing bullshitness that they teach at Harvard and Yale, that's great, again, for capitalistic. I'm talking about claironomics. I'm talking about kingdom building, bro. I'm talking about kingdom building, sis. I'm talking about demystifying kingdom wealth. I'm talking about kingdom principles. Now, again, I am not talking about worldly shizness. Because people will tell me, well, Brother Will, I read in this book and I read in that book that they said, I understand, bro, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about biblical or spiritual wealth. So I am demystifying biblical or spiritual wealth. That means, again, nosek tesum, know thyself. Now, the Bible says that a man that has self-control is stronger than a strong city. That means you know yourself. Now, if you can't control yourself, that means you don't know yourself. So I know myself well enough to know, because my wife has invited me to different places and I don't go. And my wife said, well, babe, I don't understand why you don't go. See, I know myself. So if I go to a Spurs game, I'm going to try to make sure that I get real uncomfortable when a bunch of people are sitting behind me. And then I get real aggravated if the person behind me puts his feet on my chair, and he kicks my chair, or he yells and he spills his beer and his coffee or his alcohol all over me throughout the game. Now, I know if it's short, I can do it. But for an entire game at a basketball game with a bunch of people that's very loud and rowdy, and somebody may look at me and say, hey, boy, what you looking at? See, I already know myself. So I'm not going to put myself in that environment. Now, if you give me, like, we went to a Spurs game, and we have some very expensive court-sized seats where the elite hang out. Ain't no thugs down there courtside. They can't afford to go down there. Guess what? I went to the Spurs game, had a great time. Everybody was very professional. People was well-dressed, well-mannered. It was off the hizzle, faux shizzle. I will go back tomorrow. But them nosebleed section seats where them thugs at, yeah, you won't see me up there. Why? I know myself. So I know what environment to put myself in. You will not see me driving around San Antonio at 8 o'clock or 5 o'clock. Why? Traffic time. Now, I know myself. I know I don't do good in traffic. Now, if I have to drive in traffic, I'm good. I make sure, you know, I pray. I take something that relaxes me. I make sure that I'm like, I woo-saw, and then I say, okay, let's go. Let's do it. It's a one-time thing. I will never take a job from 8 to 5 because that's when everybody's out rushing to work. Somebody's going to cut me off in traffic. Somebody, I followed a guy, and it's funny because I laugh at it now, from Dallas all the way to San Antonio because he cut me off in traffic. I don't know. Y'all should Google the distance from Dallas to San Antonio. I was coming back from my daughter's house. She lives in Dallas. I was on my I'm not going to say that. I almost said it. some Caucasian individual in one of them old good old boy trucks. And there's about three or four of them good old boys up in there. And I was driving by myself. And they cut me off, flipped me off, got in front of me, slammed on their brakes, did all this stuff. So my intention was to drag them suckers, all four of them, out of that truck. Brother Romy, you listening, bro? My intentions were to drag off. I was just waiting for them to stop. We was on a freeway. I was praying for them suckers to pull over or stop. They drove all the way. And that four-hour drive, 5 hours or whatever it was, from Dallas to San Antonio, thankfully, during that time, the father said, Negro, what are you doing? That's all I kept hearing. What are you doing? What are you doing? Are you going to go to jail because somebody cut you off in traffic? Are you willing to die because it's four of them and it's one of you? My brain, like, I don't give up. I'm getting ready to whoop some. Now, I probably would have got spanked because they were some good old boys, like them corn-fed, hay-chunking good old boys. So they were some big dudes. But me, I was angry, Brother Rome. I was angry. You don't understand. So I was getting ready to, so I followed them dudes. Because I was out of my element. Now, when I drive, I relax. I overstand. I still drive fast. My wife say I drive on. See, I drive like a cop because I was trained to drive like that. I've never used my brakes if I have to, blah, blah, blah. So I trust myself. Now, I've never been in an accident, thank God, that I've caused. I've been hit, but I ain't never hit nobody. Because I know how to drive. So I'm comfortable with driving fast. Now, other people, they're like, ooh, dude, slow down. People ride with me, they're like, ooh, man, why are you driving up on that person's bumper? So it makes them uneasy, but I'm good. So what makes you uneasy? What makes you uncomfortable? But what are you good at that makes everybody else uncomfortable? Now, I'm not an airline pilot. Every time I get on a plane, I'm like, Father, please go with me. I want to make sure that I land. I don't like driving. Now, I was in the military. I was, you know, hey, that's you ain't got no choice, bro. Get on the plane. Yes, sir. But I'm a civilian, so if I can drive, guess what? You won't see my dog behind in no plane. I'm just uncomfortable. Why? I don't know nothing about being a pilot. Now, if I was a trained pilot, I would be comfortable. Do you know? Uncomfortability comes from lack of knowledge. Somebody please write that down. You are uncomfortable in the things that you have no gnosis in. Now, gnosis means knowledge, but gnosis means knowledge of self, not knowledge of stuff. Now, many of you don't have knowledge of self, but you got knowledge of stuff. That dog won't hunt. Knowledge of self. Not knowledge of stuff. There's a lot of people listening to the sound of my voice. Man, you are the number one person in your office. You're the most trained. You're the most educated. The company can't function without you. But what do you know about yourself? Do you know every little minor detail about yourself? The things you like, the things you don't like, the things you're good at, the things you suck at? Have you read your Dear Kinnear report, and have you seen, based upon your name, the things that you are designed by God not to do? And have you seen the things that you are designed by God to do? Now, I read my Dear Kinney report because I did mine first. Now, I've done thousands of them. And again, I've never had anybody call me and say, Doc, I've had people say, Doc, this is not me. This is fact. I can't believe that because this person that I just read, this is like, this person is like an awesome person. That's not me. Then I tell them, listen to the show that I did on the dark side of giftedness. They listen to that and they realize that they are expressing themselves with too many eyes. They don't have singleness of mind. The number seven, please, brothers and sisters, this is extremely important. Number seven to demystifying wealth is one message and one audience. You must be able to tell me why God put you on this planet. If you don't know, I do. I do purpose reports for a living. Because when I was a young man, nobody could tell me what my purpose is. Everybody could tell me I needed one, but nobody could tell me how to find one. So I went to God because I thankfully had a mentor. Y'all guys know Dr. Miles Monroe. And his first book that he wrote was called Unleashing Potential. Then he wrote a book called Discovering Purpose. And in this book, he talked about the potential of purpose. And he talked about that if you want to see purpose, the place to go is to the graveyard. The graveyard is the barrier or the place of unfulfilled purpose. And Dr. Miles Monroe told me, Tyson, he used to call me Tyson. Supposedly, according to him, I look like Mike Tyson. I don't think so, but hey, another study for another time. He said, Tyson, if you don't find your purpose, you're going to take it to the grave with you. And you're going to rob the universe of your contribution. That stuck with me when I was a young whippersnapper. I was in my 20s when he told me that. And from that day until this, I'll always remember that. And after Miles Monroe, Turnell Nelson, and Bertrand Barrett, those three brothers changed my life. They were all from, again, the Caribbean. And they took me under, they told me, but none of them, they told me, man, that all your problems come from a lack of purpose. That's it. When you find your purpose, all your problems go away. And they were right. Unfortunately, none of them, great men of God, could tell me my purpose. So I set out to find purpose. And I went to the Big G. And now I can see. Because the Big G, again, removed the scales from my eyes. Now I can see a man or a woman with no purpose easily. You could be on Mars, and I can tell by your behavior, you don't have a clue why you're here on Earth. Now, again, where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. People, where purpose is not known, where vision is not known, people cast off restraint. That's all purpose is, vision. Purpose is the ability to see your target. So if you can't see your target, you're just going to shoot everybody. That's purpose. So if you don't have a target and I give you a gun, that's what you are, you a gun. And you don't have a target to shoot on, so you shoot everybody. Anything that moves, you shoot friend and foe. So your job, my job is to give you a target to aim at, to shoot at. So now I got a target. What is my target market, brothers? What is my target market, sisters? What is your target market? Remember yesterday we were talking about Brother Dana, and I was telling Brother Dana just in casual conversation. So just in casual conversation, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Brother Dana. Okay, what do you do? And he just told me, well, every day I get up, I do this, then. Well, what have you been doing in your life? Well, every day. Well, what bothers you? What do you hate? And he told me, you know what I hate, Brother Will? I hate, man, people that are like, you know, they're just like dishonest. So you really don't know. I just don't like that, man. Well, it makes sense. He's a nine. So nines, they don't like liars because they're honest people. Now, sevens, they don't like ignorance. Why? Seven is the number of intelligence. That's spiritual intuition. 11, same thing. Now, I'm a 33. I'm a 6. That's the number. Now, look at the number 6. It's a pregnant female. Now, women, when you was pregnant, what does pregnancy represent? Caring. You're bringing a new life into the planet. So everybody that's a 6, we're like pregnant females. So when a woman is pregnant, she's vulnerable. She's in an emotional state. And she's full of love and compassion because she has love and compassion for this new life she's about to give birth to. A 9 is an upside down 6. So 9 cares for it, the purpose after it's given birth. Now, I have a 9 and a 6 in my life path or in my makeup. Now, most people, and I'm going to do a show on this, don't understand what that means. Because most people don't understand numbers. Do you know that numbers are not invented or discovered? Do you know that numbers was here before the foundation of the earth? Let me say that again. Now, I don't do Chaldean or Babylonian numerology. I do biblical alphanumerics. That means that numbers that I used were not discovered. They were not made like the alphabet. Numbers, again, created. God used patterns. God used numbers to create letters and fetters and chains and principles, procedures, process, this universe. Numbers, the number system that you use was not invented. Let me make sure you understand. Nobody invented numbers. Nobody. Now, the alphabet, you can find its origin. Can somebody please go to Google anyway, research the origins of numbers? Please, pimp the game. Numbers are not invented. Numbers were not discovered. Numbers is the expression of God. Numbers is how God has chosen to express, expose, and expand his characteristics, his attributes, and his traits. So you got numbers, brothers. You got numbers, sister. That's what you're made up of. Those numbers are the traits and characteristics of God. Now, God said he's given everybody the measure of faith. God has given everybody gifts based upon numbers. But since most people don't understand the Bible code, there is a biblical code. The Bible is not a book of letters. The Bible is a book of numbers. It is a biblical code that is mathematically ingrained behind the letters. So we use letters to express numbers. God used numbers to express letters. Pimp the game. So without understanding that, you don't have singleness of mind. So when God told me, hey, your purpose is inside your name, because when I name something, again, man is name. When I name it, I man it. That means I give it its destiny and its purpose. That's why every time in the scripture, when you find what God changes somebody's name, he changes somebody's purpose. And without this understanding, my brothers, you cannot build a solid foundation for yourself, for your business, for your family. You must identify yourself, and you must tailor yourself. That means control, discipline. That means manage. You must manage myself. That's why I have a life management system. So if I can manage myself, then I got a product that is endued with enthusiasm that benefits other people more than it benefits myself. That dog will hunt. That's purpose. Purpose is energy that is filled with entheos. That means God in it. The word enthusiasm. So I know a lot of people that go to work, but they ain't got no enthusiasm. I know a lot. I know, in fact, pretty much everybody I know. I know a lot of people, they get up every morning on Monday, and it's like, oh, man, it's Monday. Like, I don't know the days of the week. I ask my wife, babe, what day is it? Because every day I do the same thing. Now, if I wasn't married, didn't have children, and didn't have a beautiful wife that I like spending time with, if I didn't have, you know, family members that I like to talk to, what do y'all think I would do? 24/7, 365, nonstop. I wouldn't shave. I wouldn't eat until I got to the place where I needed nourishment. I would be doing what I'm doing right now. I'll be talking and doing the reports. Why? I don't like this. This is not a hobby. This is in my freaking blood. I was designed by the Creator to express, expose, and expand his attributes. So were you. When you find purpose, oh, man, when you find purpose, your whole life changes. Now you are on fire. You speak as one having authority. You become a demon hunter. That means dispositions. Because everybody else has an altered state of consciousness. You don't. Purpose brings singleness of mind. Now, remember what purpose is. Purpose is a picture in the mind of the beholder. In other words, purpose is the exact target. Purpose is the ability to know that if I'm in San Antonio and I want to drive to Dallas, Dallas is my purpose. When I get in my car, I bring up my Google Maps, I bring up my GPS, and I punch into it, Dallas, Texas. And I hit enter, and it gives me a road map, and it tells me exactly where to go. It gives me turn-by-turn instructions. Purpose removes. Now, if I'm going to Dallas and I deviate off the course, what does my GPS say? Please turn right at the next light. That the lady that comes on there and says, you are off track. Purpose removes behavior. If you show me somebody with bad behavior, I show you somebody that don't know a beep about purpose. I've never met a man or a woman with purpose and understanding that was going to be followed up by application that is not wealthy, healthy, wise, and in a toe-curling relationship. Never. Now, all of my gurus, all of my mentors, like Dr. Miles Monroe, Turnell Nelson, Virtual Bear, those people, again, those were my mentors. They all, again, they didn't have the mistakes in life that I did because they found purpose early. Thankfully, by the grace of God, I found purpose. I found it a little late. I went through a lot of shizness to get to this point. But now that I found purpose, cray cray gone. So what did I do? Did I go see a therapist? Did I take some medication? Did I go get somebody slap oil on my forehead? Now, I'm not saying that none of those things that don't work. All I'm simply saying is if you show me a man, woman, a child, that's why purpose is so important. If you got children and they having behavioral issues, please call me or email me because or just go to Google and type in life path numbers and look up their life path number and read it for yourself. That way, at least you understand the basics. Now, it's way deeper than that. You need to understand, again, the ley lines and how they affect. You also need to understand the blood, how that affects. You also need to, again, understand the basics of again, the zodiac, the biblical Mazaruth that is called inside of the Bible in the book of Job. You need to understand the planetary retrograde energy that affects and causes confusion. Because when I found my purpose, nothing happened. Actually, it was cray-cray because I didn't understand the application of my purpose. When I found my purpose, and it says that I was supposed to teach to the masses, and I'm again, my name means Bethesda, I'm supposed to build people's temple so it can house the Shekinah glory of God. And at the time, you know, I was a womanizer, I was homeless, I was doing all this crazy stuff. I had bounced around from job to job, and I'm supposed to do what? I'm supposed to build God's people's mental state so that way they could understand what God's purpose is for their lives, and I didn't even have no purpose. How the hell am I supposed to do that? So if you get your Dear Kinnear report and you read it and it doesn't scare the beep out of you, yeah, you got the wrong report. Because when I read my report, I was like, I'm supposed to do what? Because remember, I was in the valley. The report shows me the mountain top. Now I'm on the mountain top. And when I saw it originally when I was in the valley, I was like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. See, God doesn't use your ability. God uses your availability. Right now, you're depending upon what you've learned at Harvard or Yale. Or whatever college you went to. God is not interested in your education. God is not interested in your ability. God is interested in your availability. So I came to him naked as I was. And I just said, Father, here am I. I'm available. He said, okay, boy, sit down. Let me teach you a little something, something. And from that day to this, when I get off, as I'm getting ready to disconnect, I'm going to start studying to show myself approved unto God, not man. I don't study when I go to church on Sunday mornings, brothers and sisters. I do my studies Monday through Saturday. Sundays is just fellowship time for me. Because I need you to understand God meets you where you are. You don't have to. Going to church, again, is for the building up of the saints. Iron sharpens iron. Because when you go to church, somebody sees you who's struggling, and they see you happy, and they want to know, hey, what Kool-Aid you drinking? Because the Kool-Aid I got, it's not sweetened. It's sour. My life is sucking right now. So what you drinking? Because you skipping up in here, and I'm struggling. I need to. And so you take them to the house, and you talk to them. Or you go out, you take them out to lunch, or you take them to Starbucks and buy them a cup of coffee, or you take them over to, you know, Joe's Fruit Track and you buy them a smoothie. You fellowship, and iron sharpens iron. Your vibe gets off on somebody else. That's wealth. Wealth is connecting with other people. Because the Father says, when you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. So if you want to worship God, if you want to serve God, help people. So when I figured that out, but I started out first by helping myself. So brothers and sisters, in conclusion, wealth is the result of seeing the ability to know yourself, because God is in the self. That is your specific message. You are your message. You give you to the world. You don't give what you've learned to the world. You give your life experience, because God takes you to the experience of something before he gives you the knowledge of something. So God took me to the experience of being purposeless before he gave me the knowledge to remove purposeless. Now, when I talk to somebody and say, well, Brother Will, I got my purpose. I said, no, you don't. They said, no, dude, you don't understand. I've been on my job for 30 years. It's a freaking job, dude. Now, don't get me wrong. I like jobs. They give you security. But when you get done, after you get off, you still need purpose. Now, how do I know that you ain't got your purpose? Just look at your behavior. See, where purpose is not known, abuse. Now, you're going to tell me there's a lot of good people out there who they real good at hiding their behavior. Now, I'm pretty good, too. That's why I know. See, I wasn't born last night. I was born at night. It just wasn't last night. So on paper, you look good. Oh, you go to church, man. You got your Sunday best on. You got all of this stuff. But what's your life like at home? Now, remember, purpose is shareable experiences. Shareable. So if you can share your thoughts and your experiences with me, all of them, and they build me up, they are edifying, bam, you one with the Father. When we talk about plasma physics and the ether, these next two series, I'm going to share with you something that is profound. Plasma means play small. Play small. It has to do with the particles. So I'm going to talk about the elder magician, which is the word electric means elder. Magic or magnetic means magician. And I'm going to break down something that is very, very important for every plasma-based being that is listening to the sound of my voice, which is what you are. And in this series, I'm going to reveal, explain, illuminate, and simplify what helped me to over, under, and understand. Now, remember, altered states of consciousness is the enemy's game. He uses soul contracts through blood to keep you tied into this dimension. That's why we broke down and demystified the spirit realm and spiritual discernment by talking about Samuel James Witwicky inside of the Transformers movies, which is code for Samuel. Sam means blind. El means God, the blind God that uses Witwicky or witch wiccan, which is witchcraft, which is transforming using metamorphosis instead of metamorpho. So metamorpho is the biblical transformation. Metamorphosis is the Luciferian or the lower dimensional. And remember, Lucifer and Satan are not the same. Y'all know that already, right? I hope y'all know that. Lucifer and Satan are not the same. Lucifer is what I talk about. Satan is something totally different. This is the understanding Theo mathematics, which is called for hero magic. They use hero magic. I talk about Theo mathematics. It is the Theo means God. Mathematics means math, magic. Now, God uses words, which is math, to save those who are lost. Brothers and sisters, if you don't understand this, then when we talk about the pleroma, which is the plasma, all of the ancient texts before the Bible talks about pleroma. You might want to look it up. It's the Greek word. Pleroma, P-L-E-R-O-M-A. That's in all the ancient texts, including the Bible. So in the next series, we're going to break down and show you how to interstellar communication or interstellar. Remember the movie Interstellar? They put I in. It's really E-N. How to enter the stellar. And we will break it down in the next series as we reveal, explain, illuminate the third eye, plasma physics, which is single eye. If thine eye be single, great is your light. If you can find what I found, that is God. Now, you can go through me. You can join the Life Optimization Life Management Team. $5,000. Again, that's the cost of the program. We've got payment plans. Just email me at masterteacher33.com@gmail.com. Or you can get on your knees. You can stand up. You can run around the block. You can go swimming. You can do whatever you want. Just put in your brain, Father, reveal to me my purpose. That's it. The Father will reveal it to you. Or he's already revealed it to me. Either way, you need your singleness. You need singleness of mind. I call it purpose. The Bible calls it oneness or atonement. Look at the word atonement. The word atonement means at one meant. You are meant to be at one with God. That is wealth. Wealth is oneness with God. When your thoughts become like his thoughts, when your ways become like his ways, you become one with the Father. And when they talk to you, you will reply to them the same thing that Jesus said. When Jesus says, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Because me and the Father are one. That's my mission in life. That should be your mission. My mission in life, my purpose in life, my goal in life is oneness with the Father. Not the little g, the one that it talks about in James chapter 1, verse 17. And all good gifts comes down from the Father of light. You are a light being that's trapped inside of a dirt suit. Glorify that dirt, brother, the same way Yahushua did. Because he's the firstborn of many brethren. And he's after the order of the melanated chi of the Zedek. His name is Melchizedek. He's not after the Levi, which is code for Leviathan priesthood. No disrespect. Nor the Aaron, which is the ram's horn, the Aram. But he's after Melchizedek, the melanated chi of the Zedek. That's oneness with the Father. That singleness is mine. That is wealth. Wealth is becoming back or returning back to source or returning back to a relationship with God, not a relationship with man, or with money, or with mammon, but a relationship with the Father of lights. Brothers and sisters, that's where I'm going. And you're welcome to join me, or I will see you when we get there. Brothers and sisters, I love you. I appreciate you. That concludes this series. We'll do an intro message for the series this Saturday. This Saturday, again, we're going to break down internet basics. So I'm going to break down the biological internet. I'm going to break down the electrical internet, and I'm going to break down the commercial internet. I need you to make sure that you and understand all three, because, again, you have domain or dominion. So you need to claim your domain name. That's why you must be on the internet. It's not optional. You must be on it. Now, you're already on the internet because you're listening to me. Probably. Maybe you called in on your cell phone, but either way, you need to be on the internet. We break that down Saturday, 12 noon. Again, email me at masterteacher33.com@gmail.com for more information. Brothers and sisters, I love you. Appreciate you. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may the Ruach, the set apart one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because he will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Y'all need to wake up now, but no, this ain't a pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene after I'm murder than flee. Reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. It's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circle and seems firmly a virtue. Bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase CDs, so I give it to them for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. You kettle corn with something to pop. You still dreaming, pass a message if you run in the pot. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you nice, snap out the actor, yo. You go with us to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. A 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. You just, it's just, I see.
Yeah.